Good morning. It was nice to get some rain, wasn't it? Could do without some of the wind, but the rain was nice. Several years ago, I came across a newspaper article, and the name of the article was Walk This Way. Walk This Way. It was written by a Los Angeles physical therapist by the name of Sherry Brownman. And this is what she said in her article. We have learned as babies. There we were, crawling across the carpet and using the edge of the coffee table to pull ourselves upright. And suddenly one day we let go. Hey, Mom, I'm walking. In an instant, we were independent, upright human beings able to toddle and then run. As teen guys, we soon perfected that I'm so cool slouch. And the girls developed the sachet. As adults, we learn to move about with a baby perched on one hip, weighed down with school books, an overweight briefcase, or lugging groceries or toolboxes. All of these are why our backs, our knees, our shoulders, and our ankles hurt. Everybody's in pain. Our tendency is to walk unsymmetrically and unbalanced. And it starts early. And by the time we're 30s or 40s or 50s, our very distinctive gait has taken a toll on our joints. Orthopedic surgeon Clifford Kahn agreed, adding that proper walking techniques and proper posture can improve body problems. Or as Sherry Brownman states in her book, Walk Yourself Well, walking the way we're supposed to is the answer to the pain that everybody's in. You see, you have to choose to walk the right way. Now, the Apostle Paul was not a physical therapist, and nor was the Apostle Paul an orthopedic surgeon, but the Apostle Paul was very concerned about the way we walk. He was very concerned about the way we walk, and he knows that the way we walk can either create real problems in our lives if we walk the wrong way, or if we walk the right way, that we can enjoy many wonderful benefits in life. But of course, when Paul talks about walking, he's not talking about physical walking, is he? He's talking metaphorically in terms of walking by the Spirit. So whereas those other individuals are concerned about walking physically, the concern of Paul in Scripture is walking by the Spirit. And that's what we see in Romans chapter 8. Here in Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 8, there are two types of people that are highlighted. And they're differentiated by how they walk. Some walk by the flesh, according to the flesh. Others, on the other hand, walk according to the Spirit. And depending on the way we walk, the way we choose to walk is going to make a big difference in the problems we face in life or the pleasures. Now, when we say walking by the Spirit or walking by the flesh, immediately, you know, you might get this idea that it's kind of mystical. Sounds mystical, doesn't it? Walking by the Spirit. I mean, you know, if you were to ask Paul how to walk by the Spirit, would he kind of give you a glassy-eyed whisper? Here's how you walk by the Spirit. I don't think so. In fact, if you've already read our passage, you know it's not very mystical at all. It's very mental, isn't it? Walking by the Spirit is not a mystical thing. In fact, there's not much of a secret to it. If you were to ask the Apostle Paul, based on this passage and also based on the book of Galatians, the only other place where this term shows up, this phrase shows up, walking by the Spirit, if you were to ask Paul, well, how do you walk by the Spirit, Paul? I think like in many times we see in the book of Romans, he'd answer with a question. He'd fire a question back at your question. How do you walk in the Spirit, Paul? Well, that's easy. What's on your mind? What's on your mind? Because what's on your mind will determine whether you're walking in the Spirit or not. And that's clear as a bell, again, if you've already looked at Romans 8, verses 5 through 8. There's nothing secret about how to walk by the Spirit. There's nothing mystical about how to walk by the Spirit. It's mental. It starts right up here. Let's read chapter 8, verses 5 through 8. If you have your Bibles with you, and I trust most of you do. And to tell you what, let's go back to verse 4. Because if you were here last week, I read verse 4. It was part of last week's sermon. But I said to explain walking to the Spirit. That will come next week. So let's go back and read verse 4. All right? Verse 4 says, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled. And of course, we talked about that. If you look back at chapter 7, verse 12, the goal of the law is, the requirement of the law is that which is holy, righteous, and good. I mean, that's what the law is aiming for, holiness, righteousness, and goodness. Verse 5, for those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. You see, it's where you set your mind. For the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. And here you start getting into, well, what's the outcome? What happens if I walk this way versus that way? Because the mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Let's pray. Lord, you thank you so much for this morning. We are grateful. You are our righteousness, just as we sang. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that comes into our life and frees us from the domination of sin so that we can walk by the Spirit. We thank you for the way that our life can change based upon what goes on in our mind, which is supposed to be based upon the things of the Spirit. We pray that as we look at your word now, that you would motivate us to be people who walk by the Spirit. In your Son's name we pray, amen. Now, last week we stopped, as I said, at verse 4. And then I said that this week we would talk about what it means to walk by the Spirit. How do you walk by the Spirit and such? And again, as I mentioned just a few moments ago, there's a contrast that we see here. Those who walk by the Spirit versus those who walk by the flesh. There's a contrast between them. And if you look on your handout, it makes mention of the fact there's two different types of people, but there's also two different mindsets, and then there's two different outcomes. Now, when we see this phrase, walking by the Spirit, understand something. I know that we don't use walking very much today to describe one's lifestyle, how we act or conduct ourselves. But whenever you see walk, in ancient literature, and by the way, it's not just biblical literature, but especially in Greek literature, you find the phrase walking to describe one's lifestyle, the way one acts, the way one conducts himself. Let's just take a look at a couple passages in Scripture. Psalm 1:1. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. In other words, the man who's blessed is the one who doesn't live out his life or act or behave in a way based upon the counsel of the wicked. Or Ephesians 4:1, Paul goes into great detail about all the blessings we have in Christ in chapters 1 through 3. And then he says, therefore, in chapter 4, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you've been called. In fact, he's going to tell you what this walk looks like. With all humility, gentleness, patience, showing tolerance, and he goes on. I mean, walking has this idea of your behavior, your conduct. Philippians 3:17, Paul says this, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. In other words, Timothy and Titus and Epaphroditus, these guys that you've seen come into the churches and work with you, you want to live like them. You want to work hard like them. You want to pray like them. You want to study the scriptures like them. Those are patterns, just like Paul held himself as a pattern. Okay, so when you see the word walk, you need to think in terms of behavior, lifestyle. In fact, I think in the NIV, it throws the word live in there. The word live isn't in the text, but the NIV will throw it in there. Live accordingly, because the idea is how you live. Now, Paul states that God will fulfill his requirement. Notice it's a passive, by the way. You don't fulfill the requirement in verse 4. God fulfills the requirement in you. God fulfills the requirement in you, that is, those of you who walk by the Spirit and don't walk according to the flesh. So what you have is you have this option here, walking according to the Holy Spirit or walking according to the flesh. And of course, we know that there's a problem there because Galatians makes it crystal clear that there's a conflict. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another. So there's this continual conflict between the Holy Spirit, not talking about our spirit here, between the Holy Spirit who's in us as believers in conflict with our flesh, the old man, our old nature. All right? All right, let me put it another way. Doing the will of God is something that can only be done by allowing the Holy Spirit to control the way you live. If you want to do God's will, you have to allow him to do what he wants in your life. All right? Now, here's the big question, and you've got to settle this question before you can have any hope of understanding this passage. And that is, who is Paul comparing to whom? Who is Paul comparing to whom? That's the issue here. Is Paul contrasting believers versus unbelievers? Okay, or is Paul contrasting believers, some believers who walk by the Spirit, and believers who choose not to walk by the Spirit? And that's very important to make a decision here. I mean, if Paul's saying that all believers automatically walk by the Spirit, all right, well, then this is very reassuring, okay? But on the other hand, if Paul's saying that it's important to walk by the Spirit, because if you walk by the Spirit, this is how things end up, and if you walk by the flesh, well, unfortunately, this is how things end up, it makes a big difference in how I'm going to preach this sermon and how you're going to understand the passage. Okay? I mean, you have to make that decision. And by the way, whether you decide it's all believers who walk through by the Holy Spirit, according to the Spirit, or all unbelievers, okay, whichever way you choose is going to have a huge difference on who this applies to as well. Because if it's not talking about you and me as believers, then the application is just attaboy. We all walk according to the Spirit. Isn't that great? Well, I'm gonna take view number two. I believe what Paul's talking about is some believers that walk according to the Spirit versus some believers who walk according to the flesh. And I'm going to give you several reasons why I take that view. And again, if you were to pull out 10 commentaries and go online and find 10 different articles, you're going to find people lining up on different sides. All right? And what I share here, you might go, well, I've never heard that before, preacher. Well, okay, but if you were to read around, you'd find there's other people that take my weird views. First of all, chapter 6 through chapter 8, what's been the focus? Justification or sanctification? It's sanctification. It's the believer's life. So in context, what we've been talking about is not unbelievers versus believers, but Christians. That's been the context. So that's one reason, but there's a more seminal reason. The bigger reason is this. As I mentioned earlier, there's only one other place in Scripture, one other passage, one other book that uses this phrase, walking by the Spirit, and it's in the book of Galatians. So let's look at the book of Galatians. If we look at the book of Galatians, this is what Paul says. Now notice it's not an imperative here in our passage. It just says those who. In Galatians, we get an imperative. For you were called to freedom, brethren. Are brethren believers or non-believers? Believers, brethren. Okay? For you were called to freedom, brethren. And then he goes on, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Ah, that popped up in the book of Romans, remember? Chapter 13. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Paul's poking these Christians, isn't he? He's poking these believers of Galatians. Hey, you guys, you're biting and devouring each other? Brethren? But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you're not consumed by one another. We know there were problems at Galatia. There was some infighting going on about keeping the law, in fact. But I say walk by the Spirit and you won't carry out the desire of the flesh. Well, there it's an imperative. He's telling believers to do it, which always implies what? You might not. And you will not carry out the desire of the flesh, for the flesh sets this desire against the Spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. So we get at this in an imperative and a command in Galatians, which sure makes clear we're talking about believers do have a choice. You're not automatically somebody who's just going to walk by the Spirit the minute you put your faith in Jesus. And not only that, but we can go look at the book of Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians, this is a rather immature church. And in 1 Corinthians 2, we read this, and this is Paul. Paul says this, but a natural man, Christian or not, what's a natural man? He's non-Christian. Natural man. Before you were a Christian, your BC days, you're a natural man. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him. And that's why sometimes you share the gospel with an unbeliever and they just go, phew, what is it? That's nonsense. A natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him. And he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual, who's spiritual? Christian or non-Christian? Christian. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. Paul goes on to say, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual men. So is Paul saying those folks at Corinth, which in chapter 1 he thanks God that they're believers, all of it, that they're not believers? Well, let's keep reading. And brethren, there we go. And brethren, I could not speak to you as spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as infants in Christ. Are infants in Christ believers or non-believers? They're believers. For you're still fleshy. You're walking according to the flesh, guys. You're baby believers. For since there is jealousy and strife, that's a little bit like what's going on in the book of Galatians. They're biting at each other, right? Devouring each other. For you're still fleshy. For since there's jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshy? And are you not walking like mere men? In other words, are you not walking like unbelievers? And then finally, let's face it. Have you ever met a Christian who's walking by the flesh? Yeah. Yeah. Have you ever, as a Christian, ever walked by the flesh? Can you think of times in your life? Well, I was walking the flesh there for about 5 or 6 years. Went through college and I was a mess. Then got right with God. Well, there you go. So it's important to understand Paul's talking to believers, and he's telling believers about the importance of walking the right way, according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh. Now, obviously, every Christian should want to walk according to the Spirit so that you can fulfill the will of God, right? That should be the natural desire of every believer. You should earnestly desire to walk according to the Spirit. But Paul has insisted that the Holy Spirit, who freed you back, if you look in verse 2, he's the one who freed you. The Spirit freed you from sin, its domination. That if we're going to continue to grow in our faith and walk by the Spirit, it's going to be through the Spirit himself. You have to walk according to the Spirit. That's the only way you're going to grow as a believer. So here's the big question. How does one walk according to the Spirit? How does one walk according to the Spirit? Well, let's look at verses 5 and 6. Okay, verses 5 and 6. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And then he goes on to say, for the mind of the flesh is death, but the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. Walking according to the Spirit will require you to allow God's Spirit to determine what things you allow your mind to focus on. And that's why I say it's not mystical, it's mental. What you camp on, what your mind goes to, what it meditates on, where it camps itself is going to determine whether you walk in the Spirit or not. And by the way, this idea of walking in the flesh, it's never talked about in flattering terms, is it? I mean, when Paul says walking according to the flesh, what should pop up? Well, let's go back at Romans chapter 1 because we read this. And he's talking here about non-believers, just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind. Before we're believers, we have a depraved mind. We do. Now, there's a spectrum. Some of us are really depraved. We end up in jail for murder. And then there's some of us who just cheat on our taxes. And then there's just some of us who kick the dog and yell at our wife. But there's a spectrum, and we're depraved in our minds. God gave them over to a depraved mind to do the things which are not proper, being filled with, and here it comes, this is what walking according to the flesh does, filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy. All right? And the list goes on, by the way, and it doesn't get prettier. Or Ephesians chapter 4. So this I say and affirm together with the Lord that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk. See how he's using the word walk there? Your lifestyle, the way you conduct yourself. And how is it that they conducted themselves? In the futility of their mind. The futility of their mind. And they having become callous, and here we get into the ugly stuff, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity and greediness. Walking according to the flesh is never described in a flattering way at all. And by the way, walking according to the flesh is oftentimes deceptive. I've met believers who thought they were walking in the Spirit, and it was very much in the flesh. Preachers often can do that too, by the way. I've heard sermons, I'm thinking, there is no Spirit in that at all. That is all flesh. You're ripping you're making mistakes all over the place, and then you're pretending you're all over the place. And I'll give you a good example. Were the disciples very often walking according to the Spirit or the flesh? Well, if you're a theologian, you know the Holy Spirit didn't come until the book of Acts. So, I mean, the Holy Spirit was enabling them to do some miracles and such, but that didn't happen to Acts. And as a result, are we surprised that when we read through the Gospels, they sure appear fleshy at times? I mean, they say some of the craziest things, and they're embarrassing at times, right? Well, there's a moment when Jesus is at Caesarea Philippi, way up north in Dan, and while he's up there, he asks his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And you remember the response Peter gave? Let's go to the passage. Peter, you know, acknowledged that he was the Messiah, and that when Jesus mentioned that he was going to be rejected and killed, Peter's response was, what? "God forbid, not you, Lord. Because I'll tell you what, we're going up to Jerusalem. You're going to set up your kingdom, and we're all going to be around you. We're going to be the VIPs, and we're going to run this joint." That's what Peter's thinking. But Matthew, what happens is Jesus turns to Peter and says, "Get behind me, Satan." That had to hurt. You're not walking in the flesh, or you're not walking in the Spirit if God says you're Satan. That's always a tip. "You are a stumbling block to me, for you're not setting your mind on God's interests, but man's." Now, when Peter was suggesting that there's no way God would allow Jesus to die, he thought that he was probably walking in the Spirit, so to speak. I'm wanting God's kingdom to rule this place, and I'm wanting to be part of the hell. I mean, isn't that all good? It was the Spirit, by the way, Matthew 4, that led Jesus into the desert to be tempted. It was the Spirit's guidance that made sure he made it to the cross. And Jesus acquiesced to the Spirit the entire way, did what his Father said to do. You can think you're walking in the Spirit sometimes, and you're way off. Way, way off. To walk according to the Spirit, you have to, really, in my opinion, you need a mental makeover. You need a mental makeover. And that's exactly what Paul's going to infer if you look later in the book of Romans, chapter 12. "Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship." Okay, that word present, remember back chapter 6, verses 14, 15. "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed." How? By going to a spiritual life conference? By speaking in tongues? By getting a second dose of the ghost? No. By the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Sounds a lot like what is holy, righteous, and good. And this makeover is a lot like redoing an old house. You ever redone an old house? I've done a number of them. You're never done. You fix one thing and you break something when you're fixing that. And then when you fix that, you break something else. You find something else. And it never ends. It goes on and on and on. Right? And that's the way it is learning to walk by the Spirit. You're renewing your mind. It's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take a long time. It took a long time for you to mess that mind up. And it's going to take some time for God to fix it. And we get that idea when we look in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thought raised against the knowledge of God, and we're taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. I got to take every thought captive. It's never going to end. If you're walking by the Spirit, that's what you're doing. 1 Peter 1:13, therefore prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. That's a small s because that's your spirit, not the Holy Spirit. And you know, it's becoming increasingly obvious as we think through this that this idea of walking by the Spirit is going to take some effort. You don't just glide into this thing, right? Walking in the Spirit isn't akin to a stroll in the park when it's cool. It's more akin to a hike up a hot Judean rocky mountain, which, by the way, Jesus did on numerous occasions as he was being led by the Spirit. And the reason why is just real simple. After years and years of thinking the way we have thought, to now set our minds on things of the Spirit is really hard. That's one of the advantages of becoming a believer when you're young. You become a believer when you're young, and you don't have near as much realignment of your thinking that you have to do. I want to reiterate again, this is not secret. It's not a secret that to change the way you live means you start with your mind. Even a good, wise non-Christian can tell you that. As this one once said, what consumes your mind controls your life. What consumes your mind controls your life. So what should consume my mind as a believer? Where should my mindset be if I want to walk by the Spirit? If I want to live and act the way God wants, which is what walking by the Spirit is. Well, you know, fortunately, Paul tells us. Paul tells us what things need to be on our mind if we want to walk by the Spirit. A central passage is in Colossians chapter 3. And by the way, if you read through the following, the aftermath of this passage, he starts contrasting behaviors, righteous behaviors versus unrighteous behaviors, old lifestyle versus new lifestyle. He says this, therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. What's Paul saying here? Yeah, you got to keep your feet planted firmly on the ground, but get your head up in the heavens. I mean, that's basically what Paul's saying. You can spend an enormous amount of time running around dealing with all the minutiae, the meaningless minutiae of life. And that's why in the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus is talking to people, he says, hey, don't worry so much about your clothes. Don't worry so much about what you're going to eat and drink, okay? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. Basically, Jesus is saying the very same thing. Focus up here. Don't make your focus down here. You focus up here, I'll take care of it. You focus down here, it's going to drive you nuts. And by the way, you can't add a single second to your life doing that. And you can't look even as good as those flowers out there. It's not going to help you. You're wasting your time. What is eternal? That should dictate most of where our thoughts go. What's up there? Heaven, the future, reigning with Christ, loved ones that have passed away that you look forward to seeing. Those are the types of things that should dictate a lot of our thoughts. In fact, you actually get this. I shared part of this passage with you before, but I'm saving more for right now. Earlier I read this, prepare your minds for action, keep sober in spirit. Peter went on to say this, fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And by the way, what's interesting to me as a pastor, having dealt with so many people who are sick in the past, I've been at bedsides with people dying. You know what means so much to people that are facing death, including my mom? They're waiting, they're ready for heaven. That's where their mind goes. And usually it's when things are difficult that really help direct our mind to where it needs to be more often than probably it is. You know, our future and our heavenly hope, the bigger role that plays in our mind, the more we're going to be able to walk with the Lord now and to walk by the Spirit and to make a difference now. But you know, Paul's going to add to this list. Not just looking at these things up here, and those things should occupy a fair amount of our time. He says, I'll give you another list. And here's the other list. It's in a famous prayer passage. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Now, you know, when I read this passage, it reads like a spectrum of quality categories. And so that if you have a thought hit your mind or you're thinking something, you can just run it through this category list. Is that of good repute? Is that excellent? Is that worthy of praise? Yeah, that's worth thinking about. Yeah, I mean, if I'm thinking about getting back at somebody who really did me wrong, I don't think that fits up there anywhere, you know? And if I have a thought like that that doesn't belong there, what should I do with it? Well, you better dump it. Otherwise, you're going to find yourself walking by the flesh, because that's what the flesh feeds on. It feeds on wrong thoughts. If you can't fit your thoughts into a category up there, then it's something that you probably shouldn't even be thinking about. And take a good look at the list. I mean, you know, when I look at that list, I think in my BC days before as a Christian, I'm not sure I could put a whole lot of in any of those categories. I mean, they really didn't fit up there. Galatians 5. These are the types of things that occupied much of our thoughts beforehand. Galatians chapter 5. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will never carry out the desires of the flesh. And then he gives a whole list of those desires of the flesh. Now, I'm not going to list them for you because we've already run into some of those before. And then what Paul does is he skips on and he talks about the fruit of the Spirit. This is what happens if you walk according to the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. It sounds a little bit like those things from Philippians 4, doesn't it? Self-control, against those things there is no law. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. And by the way, here's a tip to know you're not walking by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. That's how you walk by the flesh. But Paul gives a nice list here, just like he gave that list earlier in Philippians chapter 4, the types of things to think about. And you might say, well, David, you know, honestly, I have a lot of bad thoughts that hit my head. Martin Luther put it well when he said this, you can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can keep it from building a nest in your hair. And that's really true. I mean, somebody does you wrong, your natural response is to have a thought of vengeance, that they'll get their comeuppance or something. But you got to dump it because it doesn't fit under those categories. It's not lovely. It's not excellent. It's not of good repute. It's not honorable. It's got to go. Well, what about if it doesn't go? I want to start walking in the flesh. Fleshy bird nests in your hair will keep you from walking in the Spirit and fulfilling God's desire in your life. Your mindset determines your walk. And that's what Paul is pounding here. You want to walk by the Spirit? What's on your mind? What's on your mind? It's not a big mystery, and it's not mystical. It's mental. You determine what you think about. They need to be things that God defines through His Spirit. These are the things you need to think about. And as you think about those things, it's going to change your behavior. Or let me change the pronoun, not it. God will change your behavior as those things begin to resonate and connect in your mind. And you apply them to situations when they hit you. Now, that's the list here. That's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Now, you know, what you can actually do is you can go through that list and you can say, okay, how's the love thing going? And it seems like I'm always at odds with somebody. Probably not right now. Joy, I'm pretty depressed. Things aren't going so well. Can't check that one. And you just go through the list. Peace. Are you at peace? patience, kindness, good. You can run through these, and if you find yourself, yeah, I'm struggling here, struggling here, struggling here, guess what? You're not walking by the Spirit, because this is what walking by the Spirit looks like. These things will be reproduced in your life. And if you can't make those checkoffs, then that tells you what? I'm not thinking the right way, because if I think the right way, these things happen. See? And it's really pretty simple. It's not mystical at all. How are you doing on the list? Every now and then, it's a good idea to look at that list. If you're feeling like you're struggling with a number of these, you might need to think in terms of what you're putting in your mind. I mean, what you feed your mind makes a big difference. What you see on TV, what you see on the internet, what books you're reading, what games you're playing, who you're hanging around, those all will affect what goes on in your mind. So if you don't see these things, then you know that something's wrong up here. And then the question is, what are you putting there? And that's why reading scripture is so important. That's why Bible studies are so important. That's why doing what you're doing right now is so important. That's why Sunday school is so important. That's why it's so important you go to Bible studies. That's why it's so important to go to VBS and the WAD. Those things change your mind. They're transforming the way you think so that you can walk by the Spirit, according to the Spirit. And the thing is here, you have to choose. You have to choose as a believer. Will I walk by the Spirit, or will I walk in a fleshy way like those Corinthians? Now, like a good physical therapist, a good orthopedic surgeon, Paul lets us know what the problems we're going to experience if we're not walking the right way. And you see those in verses 7 and 8. In fact, you see it also in the end of verse 6. Look at the end of verse. The mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. The mindset on the flesh is death, it says in verse 6. Verse 7, because the mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God. It's not even able to do so. For those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Just like, you know, Sherry Brown was going to tell you, this is what's going to happen if you walk this way and you can't improve it. Well, Paul does the same thing here. He tells you what you're going to face if you walk the right way versus the wrong way. You know, it's a tragedy if we decide not to walk the right way according to the Spirit, but according to the flesh. Because we begin to lose the experience that God wants us to have. Let's look at a couple passages. And you've seen these all before. Romans 6:16, do you not know that when you present yourself as a slave for obedience, you're a slave to the one you obey, either of sin resulting in death, and what did we say death meant there? Spiritual separation from God. Because we sure don't want to say presenting yourself with God to God gets you to heaven. No, we're talking not about eternal death, we're talking about spiritual death. We're talking about separation from God right now. Or obedience resulting in righteousness right now. Or 1 Timothy 5, 1-6, where Paul's discussing about widows. Which widows do we take care of in the church? Well, Paul says, honor widows who are widows indeed. In other words, they have nobody to support them at all, not even family. But she who gives herself to want and pleasure is dead even while she lives. You can be spiritually dead as a Christian. James talks about that. You don't want death as a Christian in your life. Jesus came that you might have what? Life. And he's not just talking about eternal life in the way off yonder. He's talking right now. 6:4, Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father so we might walk in newness of life. When? Right now. What happens if I'm not walking in the Spirit? I'm not experiencing that new life. John 10:10, the thief came to steal and destroy. That's the only reason he came. I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Right now. Right now. You know, we forfeit the kind of life that God's will is for us to have. We can miss out on all those wonderful fruits of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. You can miss all that stuff if you decide to walk by the flesh. And, you know, we forfeit also something else. What Paul says here is peace. the outcome of walking by the Spirit is life and peace. In 14:17, Paul says this, "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." Well, what about if I'm grieving the Spirit? What about if I'm not walking according to the Spirit? Don't expect much joy. Expect conviction and guilt. Don't expect much peace. 1 Timothy 5:1-6. And that's actually Philippians. And if, I want you to notice as you read down, I read this earlier, watch the bottom line here. "The things which you've heard, learned and received and heard from me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. All those things that you put in your mind, if you do those, the God of peace, you'll experience peace. You walk by the Spirit, you experience peace. You experience real life. You walk by the flesh, and instead, there's death. There's pain. Walking the right way as a believer by the Spirit results in more peace and less pain. And especially, let me say this, as we grow older. In her book, Walk Yourself Well, Sherry Brownman, like Paul, had advice for how to walk right. She had a whole list of things, just like Paul's lists, right? I want to read her list of how to walk right. Number one, lengthen your strides so you can feel your leg muscles working. Okay. Lengthen that stride. Keep your stance as wide as your shoulders, which means if you have very narrow shoulders, you walk, I guess, like this, right? As you walk, keep your feet turned out a little. 15 to 20 degrees is too far, and it will hurt your back. Shift your weight from hip to hip. I'm not talking Marilyn Monroe here, but you want to move hip to hip. Swing your arms as you walk to help propel yourself. Palms toward the body, thumbs straight ahead. Hold your belly in. Keep your head up. And untuck your buns. If you want to avoid back problems, if you want to avoid knee replacements and hip replacements and all sorts of problems with your body, that's how you got to walk, she says. You won't strain yourself. I personally don't know if I could follow that list. But I also know this, it's too late. It's too late. I mean, I was reading earlier, she said in their 30s and 40s and 50s, okay, I'm moving up north of that. It's too late for me. I can start walking this way tomorrow, and I'm still maybe looking at a knee replacement and a hip replacement. I was talking to Jim Davis. Jim Davis is the pastor out in San Marcos that many of you know because we went to Israel, and he was the other pastor that went on the trip with us. I talked to Jim 2 days ago. He says, "Dave, my knees are shot. I'm going to have to get a knee replacement." I said, "That's no problem. You wouldn't believe how many people in my church are having knee replacements and hip replacements. I'll give you a whole list of them." I know a guy in our church, Russell, he had both of his knees replaced in one day. So, you know, I know perfectly well what I'm getting into as I get older. It's too late for me. I can try to walk physically the way Sherry says. It's not going to make a difference. You know what's great is this, though. It's not too late for you to change the way you spiritually walk. You can change the way you walk today. You can start walking by the Spirit today. It's never too late. At any age, you can have a mind makeover. Now, you're going to have a little more work to do because you've been putting it off. But you can completely change, or let me change that. God can completely change the way you think because you will think on those things He says to think, on the things He lays out, His scripture, what is good, lovely, perfect, honorable, of good repute. All those things that we should be thinking of, things above, at the right hand of God, you think about those things, it will change the way you act. And you'll find your life to begin to change. You will start walking according to the Holy Spirit. That's what God wants you to experience. And I really believe that's what every Christian wants to experience way down deep. You know, we just have to change our mind. Let's pray. Stand with me if you would. Lord, we do thank you so much that you desire for us to have a truly full life, a life of peace, a life of joy, filled with all the fruit of the Spirit. And we recognize the only way to experience all those things is to walk by your Spirit, not to resist your Spirit, not to grieve your Spirit. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And we pray that for each one of us, we would be quick to allow him to change the way we think, help us to get in the Word, to apply what we see, for us to think differently so that we can walk in the Spirit and live a life that's truly according to your will and that fulfills the requirement of the law, which is holiness, righteousness, and what is good. In Christ's name we pray, amen.